Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Lovers of the spoken word, all joining together to come together as a family and to spend time together. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the April 24th, 2020 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting across from me virtually is my co-host and the man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. JT, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I loved the little addition to the intro. At the beginning.
Good.
Thank you for that.
Good. You're welcome.
It made me sit up. Can I get more energized here? I hope everybody in the chat room and everybody listening, even if you are listening to the podcast version of this, that you find yourself in good health and that you're safe and that you're as happy as can be expected. There's some people going through some rough stuff out there. And,
yes, sir.
You know, for instance, JT, as we were getting ready here, I found out another friend of mine has passed away from COVID-related stuff. So so that's three friends. So there's a lot going on. So I really cherish the people, you know, I cherish my time with my friends that are gone, but I also want to remember to cherish the times we have together now. So that's part of what we're here to do. Now, we have several things we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be doing some... we're going to be doing some great poetry, some submissions, readings. I have an apology or a reveal about the reveal of our poet of the month. And we're going to be talking about some great subjects and kind of connecting on a lot of different levels. How was your week, JT? What's been going on for you?
The week went by pretty quick considering we where I'm at and what I'm doing is very slow. We're averaging maybe 7 procedures a day, maybe 5. Okay. It depends on the day. That's why there's an average, JT. Go figure, right? But where I'm at is fairly slow, so I'm surprised that the weeks are going by quickly. What really hurts is that the weekends go by even faster. So it's almost as if I don't get enough rest. And I think it has a lot to do with the stressors that go on at a hospital. I mean, we're not seeing the tons of patients, COVID issues, but we definitely have them.
Well, and don't you think that, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but this is my impression that when a lot of the reason for the whole stay at home order, things that has been used kind of across a lot of the planet, mm-hmm. was to allow hospitals and things to get more capable of dealing with this. as well. It gives some breadth to for preparations.
Yes, there's that. It also allows them not to be overrun because, as is witnessed in Italy and in New York, a hospital, it doesn't take much for a hospital to be overrun with, basically saturated with patients for one issue. I mean, we have a certain amount of, hospitals have a certain amount of beds, and on average, that's maybe 200 beds, and instantly 300 people come in, they're out of space.
Yep.
So it doesn't take much. And
JT, and that's you just that gave thing. Me a great idea for a series we could do on top, like a little series we could do for the show here. Like, we have little bumpers.
Yeah.
Quantum Hospital.
Ooh.
See what I mean?
Yes.
It's a hospital that doesn't obey the laws of physics.
Yes.
Or of the state of Massachusetts, where they are based.
That's right.
Okay.
I like it.
You have so many doctors falling in love with patients and patients falling in love with nurses.
Yes.
You know how it goes. Anyway, all right. So we've got some great things coming up here. Now, just a reminder for some of the people listening who maybe didn't hear it last week, we're trying to put together an anthology for World Poetry Open Mic, a special one where all the proceeds are going to go to the American Red Cross or a COVID-related charity. So all of the proceeds, and we're keeping nothing, is going to go to that. So if you want to submit for that, just send a poem or poems. You can submit as much as you would like to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just indicate that it was for the COVID-19, the special anthology. We don't have a new title for it yet, but that's what we're working on. And we'll just see what we can get. We've gotten a few, but we don't have enough yet to really approach doing an anthology yet.
Yeah.
All right. all right. So, JT, unless you have something else to add, let's just get into the rules, huh?
Sounds great.
All right. Here we go. Rule number one, no hate speech. We don't do that on the show. We never have. We never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 so this can be a friendly place for younger people, for families to kind of enjoy poetry and grow in their own love of the art form. If you have a good flow going, you know, and it's art, we may not jump in. But if it gets gratuitous, we reserve the right to do so at any time. Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared with your poem. It's just a respect thing. Keeps the show flowing better than if we're having to wait. We understand things happen, but just do your best to be ready. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. That's, once again, just a flow thing. It's respectful of all the other poets. And rule number five, JT and I are consistently working, doing things when we're on the air. It's hard for us to remember things that are just mentioned off the cuff. So if you have a recommendation for the show or a suggestion, don't just tell us on the, don't tell us on the show. Don't say it in the chat room. Send us an email. Or you can go to World Poetry Open Mic at worldpoetryopenmic.net, put it in the contact form, or send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And just let us know, and we will discuss it during our next meeting. All right. I think I got that stuff handled. I think I got that.
Well done.
All right. Thank you, sir. So we need 5 unique callers here for our first segment. Our number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here at the beginning of the first segment. We've got some great poets lined up here, and I'm excited to see where this night takes us. Every night that we do this show is different. Strangely, heading into 8 years, it still is different every week. And so we're always looking forward to finding out what that's going to be like in the particular night that we're on. Before we get to those callers, I'm going to go to a submission that I received. And this is from Natalia Govsha. And this is... I think this is a beautiful piece, an interesting piece. But I always like Natalia's work. So here we go. This is Forgive Me by Natalia Govsha. I am not God. I am not an angel. I'm just a weary stranger from a long, tangled road. And only what I want I bow my knee, my bloody knee. I'm begging. I'm begging not for bread. A little drink give me from your life-giving source. Let me, beside, lie down and let me get my breath. I'm almost deceased horse. Let me ride out. Give me to deceive my death. I'm not God. I am not an angel. I'm a weary stranger. And that was Forgive Me by Natalia Govsha. I thought that was a really different piece, don't you think, JT? Like there was some interesting, evocative imagery in that. Now, if you want to be like Natalia and submit your work, you absolutely can. You can do that by going to worldpoetryopenmic.net and putting in the contact form, or emailing it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. In either case, just indicate it's a submission for the show, and we will read it on the air. All right, let's go to our first caller, and we're going to go to Vancouver, I believe, British Columbia. It's going to talk to Egon.
We're going to go to Vancouver, I believe.
Hello, Egon.
Hello.
Hello, Egon. Good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Doing very well. Happy to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it was interesting last week. I didn't hear Cynthia, and I happened to check up on her during the week. And, she's taking all this stuff, coronavirus and everything, pretty hard, like a lot of people. But it is what it is.
That's right. Anyway. You know, we're here right now. And, you know, I don't know if anybody here is like me, but I'm sitting here. I've got some great, some sparkling water. I got some coffee here. You know, it's a good night, at least where I'm sitting right now. So I'm going to focus on being here with all of you.
I appreciate that. And you know what? I'm here also hoisting a scotch. So which brings me to my poem. As you know, I'm a bit of a storyteller, whether it's in poetry, and you really haven't seen or I haven't provided you with any of my flash fiction, according to what Cynthia calls it, and that's fine. But I used to be a hunter. I hung up my rifle about 3 years ago when my best hunting buddy passed away. I had the great fortune to spend a few days with him, 99 days before he finally died. So here's what I've written, and it's based partly on some very, very happy memories from the past. It's called Hunting Camp. By the light of a bright autumn moon, listening to the howling wolves in the distance, startled by a scurrying raccoon, I'm fully aware of my existence. Treading carefully down a forest path, my foot slips on an abandoned bottle. Many expletives leave my lip in wrath. But soon, at camp, I'm safely at our wattle. We are out in the wild to hunt some moose. We have limited hunting tags to fill, hard to come by. They are too dear to lose. Love the animal's meat, but not the kill. Our camp has a tent for four avid guys who cleared a forested space of branches. Building a camp kitchen is one of our delights. Heaped up, later sticks will become ashes. Days are still hot until the late afternoon. We shower al fresco under the sun. The sun is setting, and under the moon, we light a fire to have some drinks and fun. Tall tales are related around a fire, mostly lies, of course, but everyone roars. Adding more branches, the flames leap higher. Glasses clink while copious whiskey pours. Finally, as inebriation takes over, the fire is doused and three head to bed. They're watching dying embers is our rover. He falls asleep in his soft chair instead. We find the rover the following morn, where he has been sitting all night long. In death, just sitting there, he looks forlorn. The bravest one's system was not so strong. End of tale.
I really enjoyed that one. That was cool. I was kind of falling into it and enjoying it. I was kind of sad when it ended. JT, what do you think?
I really enjoyed it as well. It was great piece, great story.
Yeah, well, you know, guys, it's one of these things that I experienced. I mean, living in British Columbia is fabulous, and for many, many, many years, I've been up in the interior to hunt, and as I pointed out, it's never been the thrill of the kill. It's just that I happen to like venison, and the same with my hunting buddies, and so this is what we do. But it's kind of reminiscent of where we used to camp in the middle of nowhere, and obviously libation was always part of what we did. And so I try to put it into verse.
I really enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it, and I think it was done well. And
terrific. I appreciate it, Michael.
Thank you.
This is one of those that I think that if I were to send this to you, it's one of those ones that you could turn into a ballad like El Paso.
You know, I could hear that in it, actually. And I was thinking, there's actually a guy named Ron Christopher who lives in Los Angeles who does a lot of things like Marty Robbins. And he's won Best Western Album of the Year a few times. He's a friend of mine. That made me think about, I would love for him to read at some point. I think he'd like it.
Well, I sent you some things. Pass it on to him, if you will.
Sounds good.
I'm passing it on to you without any obligation whatsoever. Anyway, I'll let you run. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye. And that was Egon Kahn from British Columbia leading off our first segment here in the number one spot. Now, before we bring on this next caller, I want to read an email from this caller because I'm going to address the Poet of the Month thing. And JT, if you want to bring him on, completely fine.
Okay.
I'm going to read it's short. But I'm going to be reading an email from Dennis. And this is what he sent me. And I'm going to explain this in a minute. This is titled Poet of the Month. It appears that you've played an April Fool joke on us, giving us clues regarding the Poet of the Month for April, and then revealing to us the identity of the poet was Gertrude Chandler Warner. Upon doing research on this person, I found she was a prolific writer of children's books, the Boxcar Children series as her most successful topic of work. Searching to find the poetry connection for this writer was unfruitful, as she does not have a volume of poetry work in which she has distinguished herself as a poet. I would be glad to read a poem crafted by her, but I cannot find any, so I must conclude that this was an April Fool's joke, which I admittedly fell for. Well done, Michael. You got me. So, which made me laugh, by the way. But here's the thing. There's a lot of ways I could approach this, but here's how I'm going to approach it. I am not personally a fan of when someone screws something up and then saying they were just kidding to get out of it, because I feel it's inauthentic. So here's the deal. I totally screwed this up. And here's how I screwed this up. I went and I was looking through lists of poets. I was looking through people whose birthdays were there. I was looking at different things. I was thinking, we need a female poet. And I was going through different quotes and different things. And I thought, this person looks interesting. So I went right to her biography, as opposed to doing what I normally do, which is starting to look through poetry and reading the poetry. And as the case may be, I made the mistake. And so I asked for your forgiveness, mea culpa. And Dennis, I wanted to say that to you live on the air. I screwed that up, and I apologize.
No need to apologize, Michael. It gave me a chance to do some research, and I learned things along the way. So it's all good. I know
if it wasn't
an April Fool's joke, I certainly know it wasn't intentional. So there's no hard feelings or anything. It's just that I try to participate in the Poet of the Month readings, and you just stumped me completely, and that was well done.
Well, yeah, apparently I stumped myself, but you can damn well be sure I'm going to be reading every poem by every Poet of the Month from here on out.
Well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings by sending you that.
No, I completely appreciate it. In fact, you got to understand, the thing that bothers me, I don't get bothered by being called out on things. What actually bothers me is when I realize later I screwed something up and no one said anything, and I'm like, oh, no. So I prefer you tell me. So thank you for saying that. I'm trying to do it well.
Hi, Michael. You always do it well. And there isn't a one of us that hasn't screwed something up. So you aren't alone.
Fair enough. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So how are you, and what do you have for us?
I'm doing well, and I would like to read for my first reading a cover poem by a friend of the show. Her name is Carolyn Dewey from Indiana. And she shared this poem with me, and I thought it was worth sharing on the show tonight. And she gave me her blessing. So here it is. The title is, What If God Hit the Reset? What if? What if God just said stop? What if he wanted something big so we'd hear over all the noise and confusion? What if? What if God said, don't? What if God said, your children are not taking me at my word? You haven't changed a single bit since I gave the flood. What if? What if God hit reset? Because we just don't get what we're supposed to do and not do. To be true to the half of the relationship, it's give and get. And he doesn't even want. He doesn't need to get. He just wants you to accept. So now it's something big. And the world was shut down for a later reboot. You have to think it through. You have to hear the message. Then you have to choose. What if you can't go anymore? You have to be with the people, the ones that really matter. Have to see yourself in the mirror, reassess. Come be blessed. Come get grace, human race. Think about it. Think about all of it. What a pace. Just stop. 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 It's a reset and reboot. It's going to be up to you to learn the rest and choose. What if? End of poem. A poem by Caroline Dewey.
Wow, what a piece you read by her. And a great cover is always a great job, but wow, what a good piece.
Yes, and I thought it was meaningful, and yes, we do discuss it. I know Cynthia wants to steer away from it. We all do. But we need to look at it, the positive aspects too. Something good is going to come out of this. And we just need to open our eyes and be ready to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, I completely agree. In fact, I found one thing that was really interesting is I realized that where I was kind of unconsciously, but very seriously putting a lot of my hours and my time right now is in finding opportunities in the future here where things are building things, taking this time to actually come out ahead of where I was before it all started happening. And I was talking to a friend of mine who happens to be kind of a philosopher and a coach for some people. And he kind of said, you know, it's really interesting. I can see there's a lot of people who this happens, and if they're not sick directly, obviously if a family member's sick or something, that's a different deal. But if just the existential side, there's a lot of people who are kind of collapsing in and really just can't move. And there's a lot of other people who suddenly get going when the going gets tough. And I think there's a lot of people on this show I know that are the kind of people who you're smart, but you get going when the going gets tough. And I realize that I've somehow built that up over time. Maybe it's due to the influence of the people I'm around. But when things get tough and scary, I notice I suddenly feel inspired, which does that make me a supervillain? I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
The end has yet to be written, Dennis, from a poetry radio show to a supervillain. You know, that's a normal path.
Supervillain, no. Mediocre villain, maybe.
Very good.
Oh.
Dennis, wonderful read again, and thanks for sharing that work with us.
And thank you for allowing me to. I hope I did her poem justice. She has read that on YouTube. If you want to find her, Caroline Dewey.
Caroline Dewey, all right.
She has her own a way of reading it that would not like mine, but you know, everybody has their own interpretation. I just hope it pleased her, my rendition of it. So I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan in the number two spot here in our first segment. We've got some great stuff. Now, we've had two men coming up. I think this is going to be absolutely fantastic to bring a wonderful female poetic voice. And let's go back to Vancouver, British Columbia, and bring on Cynthia. Hello,
hi.
Cynthia. Good evening. How are you?
Well, you still managed to make me laugh, so that's good.
Good. Which part was it? When I completely botched the poet of the month, or was it the other part?
That one, and that you might be a mediocre villain.
Oh, yeah, that made me laugh, too, actually. I feel like I want to make that a T-shirt. Mediocre.
That is an awesome T-shirt for you.
Yeah.
See, be my name again.
I'll give Dennis credit for it.
I'm kind of like that too, though. Usually, I'm a sci-fi writer, so I'm able to go to like worst case scenario really easily.
Oh yeah.
And write about it. So I'm actually editing my worst case scenario forest fire stories right now. Because I can't handle my current stuff. So. But anyway, I have a peaceful poem because I'm trying to get myself to a place of peace. So this is a poem that's going to go in the book I'm doing with my friend Jilly, and it's called Emancipation. I run through redwood to rich black earth, absorbing my ashes. Rainforest, reaping sky, body and sunlight, starlight and trees growing out of me. Dawn and night, eternity in forest, cool air, ferns, cedar, home. end a poem.
Well, that's a soothing, just kind of beautiful addition to the show so far. And I always love that kind of that work and those reads from you.
Oh, thanks so much. And it's kind of funny too. Like when a while ago, this was like my really boring project. I was like, this is my project I had to get done. Not boring. Like I love her, but I mean, I couldn't deal with
the amount.
Yeah. Like I whip off all my stuff on a first draft and I write way too much and it's all repetitive. And then I don't feel like fixing it. So now I'm kind of taking on all the projects that I've left that I thought were too boring to handle and like fixing them up.
Yeah. Which is like, is that the kind of the cool thing about having the time that we've had is that I can honestly say I've made good use of the time, so far, you know,
I actually really do have, I signed up for a bunch of contests that are coming up. I really do have these things I'm supposed to do tonight, like get a poem into a Canadian thing by midnight. And like, yeah, I'm definitely making good use of the time.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I think this, you know, there's a lot of beautiful things going on and there's a lot of great work being created. The thing I'm so excited about in a positive way, Cynthia, is what do you get when you get every creative person stuck at home for a month? And that I'm waiting for. I cannot wait to see what that turns into.
Now that is really exciting. And your t-shirts. I want to see your t-shirts.
All right. Well, I'm gonna make a note to remember that one, because actually I think Mediocre Villain is actually a really good t-shirt.
I'll put
Dennis White as a quote as the attribution.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show. And I'm looking forward to listening to the rest.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it as well, but hopefully we'll get to talk to you during the return engagement, okay?
I might not, but I'll be listening.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. So have a great night.
Talk to you soon then. Okay. Goodbye. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Always beautiful, beautiful kind of, most of the time agrarian kind of poetry, it seems like. Naturalistic is maybe the word. All right. Now, we're a very international show tonight on World Poetry Open Mic. Now we're going to travel across the Atlantic, and we're going to visit with our great friend from the UK, Titus.
Good morning.
Hello, Titus. Hello.
Good morning, Michael. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear, just fine. Happy late night, early morning where you are.
Yes, it's 20, was it 20 to 3? 20 to 4. Not too bad.
it's a little rough.
I haven't been asleep at all, to be honest. I'm just... getting used to the bike again after my first week of work. It's telling on me, the bike, at the moment.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm okay at the moment.
Well, otherwise, good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
Sure. Well, just intro first. This poem is in the 2020 Winter Paint, which is the international competition for all poetry. There's over 100 entries at the moment. This one's called The Ides of March. Irina Kovanaka Ashcroft, en plein air. Scourge will intensify death's shape and form. Ethnic values shall prepare for us such mayhem. Let's captivate who falters, swage the storm, for courage keeps their four in line with them. Shall seek dominance with a brash mosaic, stirring relish it conjures up a stark synthesis, through which destroying pleasures laid intending more prosaic, the murky preen provides more coalesce, assured the grimmer tales are next remade. I've offered the phrase the Ides of March, depicting gods where merited shall aspire, the midnight sun, the lotus vestige search, peridot indicatives bemoan a brazen jasper, what scandalous conserve the dark demure, arsenic and mace collude its art form parch, spreading of the aethers denotes Ovid, exile begins to part from tradition, combine null dyes, natural taints verdure, to delve the fate's untimed events connoted. End of poem.
Some really, it's that kind of, first of all, very well done, but I think also the way it's, the rhythm in the language, the way you were reading it and putting everything together was kind of that, it had that late night, 3 a.m., 4 in the morning kind of hypnotic.
Yeah. Well. Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, it's that's a compliment. Yeah. That's a compliment. And I really enjoyed that.
The picture attached, because every painting has a picture which has to be written to. The right. Painting, I thought of the COVID virus and therefore man's trying to delve into, deal with it and to fight it and to conquer it. So that's what the poem overall speaks about, that, you know, that strangely enough, around the 15th of March, I was taken ill with it, and 2 weeks I was in bed and recovered, thankfully, at home. Not a statistic, but it's nice to get out of it at the other end. But, that's probably, as you say, a very dark look at the situation as it stands. Hopefully the peak would have got to the end of that poem.
Yeah, that's kind of what I hope for as well, I think. In the back of my head, you know, I'm not an expert on this. I'm one of the few people on the internet who will claim to not be an expert. I'm not a constitutional scholar or a doctor, strangely enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that I'm kind of hoping is that, at least here in the United States, we don't end up being so silly with our decision making that we end up getting another really nasty wave of this. And the economic fallout. You know, I think we've been kind of playing things not very intelligently, well, at least politically, the way we're talking about it. However, it may change. I don't know. I'm just doing the best I can here, and I'm hoping that that everyone can stay safe, and I'm glad you made it through, Tony.
Well, I'm referring to people who are out in the parks. I'm seeing lots of people about. The stirring relish it conjures up a stark synthesis through which destroying pleasures laid. It's like as if they're destroying all the good which is being done by being all together again, you know? Yeah.
Intending prosaic.
Yeah. Well, it's got a mixture of things. I mean, I like to, when I write, I tend to have a load of stories within the poem rather than just one. So that's how it works out anyway. Well, anyway, thanks for having us.
It was great. Thank you so much for calling in. We love it. And we'll talk to you hopefully during the return, but I can completely understand if you just pass out.
No, I'm lively. Okay.
All right. Well, then hopefully we'll see you then. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And that was Titus calling from the UK. At like 4 a.m. It's amazing. That's a good hour for writing. In fact, JT, I got to tell you, I've been working on this idea. I'm saying this on the show because I know the show's a community of writers. What do you think? I'm going to say this live in the chat room too, if you think about it. I've been looking at the artistic history of 4 a.m. I think JT and you and I talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff written about 4 a.m, all kinds of songs. There's all kinds of things about it. I've been thinking that might be a book. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Like a book about the creative kind of strange magnetic power at four in the morning. And there's a museum of 4 a.m. It's pretty interesting. So at any rate, I don't know. In the chat room, if you think that sounds like an interesting idea, let me know. But if not, that's cool too. That's fine. I'm just kind of mulling the idea over. All right. So let's go now to a great friend of ours in Connecticut. I was just on her radio show yesterday. Let's go to Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
No, Barbara's going to have to call back.
Yeah, she's going to have to call back. Okay, so Barbara, we're having that Skype issue. So if you can call right back, we will take you live. That's been a good start to the show so far.
Yeah.
JT, what do you have? What do you have on your desk? What are you drinking now?
Water.
Just straight water?
Water, yeah.
Anything else?
No.
I'm not hinting at alcohol. I'm just asking.
No, just water. I was a little peckish, so I had a little Muscle Milk just to kind of take the edge off.
Muscle Milk, so you were peckish, so you brought in
elements
of dairy, I see.
Sure, if that's what you want to call that.
I'm playing around. Okay, let's go now. Barbara, calling from Connecticut, is... Hey, Barbara.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, all.
Hello, hello. Thank you for calling back.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for coming on my show, Michael. For anyone who didn't hear it, Michael was on my show for about an hour yesterday. It was great.
Yes, scorched earth of awesomeness is how I would refer to it.
Two very unusual guys on there, right?
I got to be honest, Barbara. There were parts where I was sitting there going, where did you find these people?
I don't know. One was on LinkedIn. I think the other was on Facebook. I don't really know, but maybe Twitter.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. For those who didn't listen but are interested potentially in listening to this, there's one author who spends a fairly decent amount of time talking about not going to the bathroom in traditional bathrooms.
Chris Mason, yeah. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, I'm not wrong. I'm not making that up. That's a real thing.
No, he lives on a truck. And he really does, to be with his wife.
Yep.
She's a trucker, and they decided that's what they want to do after their kids have grown up, and he lives on a truck, going back and forth.
That's right. Why not? So...
these good people I get on my show. I mean, you know, at least I didn't have a parrot this time. But Michael, it was very wonderful having someone who was feeling normal. There was another guy who was, he's a scientist, and he moved into fiction, and, you know, they were very unusual people, I must say.
Yes.
But anyway, that's what happens. My show gets different people, you know. I meet people through LinkedIn, I meet people through Twitter, I meet people through Facebook. And sometimes I meet, you know, I used to meet people in real person, you know, like I had a few people that I actually know in person on my show. But that's it. And having my show really keeps me sane. Because then I know there are other people out there besides me, and you know, that Facebook isn't just like, you know, people just posting and stuff. There's real people out there, and, you know. Anyway, I can talk about this later. Yesterday was also World Shakespeare Day, and... in honor of that, I wrote a poem called In Honor of Shakespeare, and it starts out with a quote from him, well, from Hamlet, to be or not to be, that is the question, and by William Shakespeare, of course. Here goes, In Honor of Shakespeare. What did Shakespeare mean when he had his character say these words? We are born into this world and have no say in when or where it happens. So our being is never in question at first. Yet, as we live, events and experiences may tend to have us question whether we should continue living or end it all. No one seriously contemplates this unless their mind is twisted and they have placed themselves in a revolving door of discontent, where reason doesn't filter in, and they are lost in their own maze of bewildering chaos. Sometimes it seems the world is a harsh and lonely place, especially during an outbreak of disease or war, but we must struggle through. Shakespeare's character ultimately succumbed to his own mind's disarray, but we need to find another answer to continue to live in this world. Love is surrounding us, and many people don't know it. They have shielded themselves from the love of mankind due to their own inability to look beyond themselves. But even if you are alone, you should not be lonely. Somewhere in this world, someone is thinking of you, and you don't know it. And you may have beautiful memories that emerge every now and then, like long-lost friends, to give you a Technicolor show that makes you smile. These are the moments you treasure, the ones you remember with your loved ones, the ones you cling to as the tide of your life seems to be pulling you further away from reality. Today, our reality is harsh, and you need your anchors to keep you steady as you try to navigate the waters of the current situation. What you must gain from Shakespeare is he showed us tragedy and romance, and in both we can learn lessons that will sustain us. His words are classic, for they teach us lessons, and they bring human foibles to the forefront. We should not think, as Hamlet did, that there is a choice of being and not being. The only choice we have is being happy or not being happy. And I choose to be happy, despite all of the pain and suffering. And I choose to enjoy the pleasures of the world before I slip away from them. My memories sustain me as I do what I have to do and be what I have to be. And I gain joy from the comfort of friends and family surrounding me in this struggle. End poem.
Very nicely done, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yes, I liked how you kind of pulled the concept of Shakespeare and then made it kind of relevant in our current scenario.
Thank you. That's, I guess, what I do. Something comes to me, and then all of a sudden I'm just writing, and it just comes like that.
That's wonderful.
And I was inspired by Shiju H. Paladese. I still can't say his name. It's like a year and a half. I still can't say his name. Paladese, I think it is, who reminded us it was World Shakespeare Day. And I thought, oh, Shakespeare, that's someone who I haven't thought of in a long time. And he is very relevant today. And I just wanted to let you know that anybody who wants to, hear the show with Michael in it, it's on my Facebook page. And also, like I said, I'm one of those people that's very busy now. It just happened. I got busy. I tutor twice a week, and I'm doing the Poetry of Dark Angel thing, and I'm the regional director for motivational strips, and I'm also like going to start judging this haiku poetry. JP would be interested in this. The library is having a haiku poetry contest, and they're asking everyone to send in poems, and my group is going to be judging them. So, should be interesting. Easier than judging a whole poem, but still, judging a haiku, that's hard. So, we'll be doing that. And just, my life just is too much to do for me, rather than, oh, I'm home and it's too boring. No, not for me. And I'm baking and I'm cooking. And tonight is the very first night in a week and a half that I actually got to eat food from another place. We did takeout food, and that was also very stressful. You know, you have to get takeout food now.
Do what? Do we have to get takeout food? Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You
call
you
ahead.
You take it out of its container. You can't let it come into your house. You have to take it out of its container, put it into bowls, and.
Oh no, Barbara! I just inject disinfectant. We're all good.
Did you eat that?
All right, Barbara, we gotta get moving. We gotta keep
get
moving
on the
here.
Phone but the last one.
But we'll talk to you during the return, though. Okay.
I'll talk to you in the return. Bye bye.
Awesome. Thank you, Barbara. Bye.
Take it out of its container.
And that was Barbara Kahn from, I almost said Vancouver, Connecticut, but that doesn't make any sense.
That would be an awesome place.
Vancouver, British Connecticut. That's what happened if we didn't win the Revolutionary War. And all right, Barbara, thank you so much again. All right, so the reason we had to keep moving is we're going to go to a second segment. We're always guaranteed a second segment on the show. So we need five more unique callers, people who have not called in yet. If you wanted to share something, this is your time. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Christine.
What?
Last night, I woke up in the middle of the night. I saw light coming out of my pocket. Uh-huh. There's a UFO in my pocket.
There's a UFO in your pocket?
Yeah.
Did you hit it?
Yeah, but its weird string came out. I hold onto the string, goes flying across the room, comes right back in my face.
Do you duck?
No, I'm a human.
Maybe the aliens turned you into one.
A duck?
You know, I used to joke about things like that.
Yes.
And now, the people that I was somehow imitating are constructing our foreign policy. Anyway, let's move on in the second segment. In the second segment, we're not going to talk about that today.
Right.
We've got a couple great poets lined up. We also have a submission from a longtime friend of the show we haven't heard from in a while. I'm going to go to first. This one is from Steve Junka. It's called We Used to Play Soldiers. We used to play soldiers as a game when we were young. Running around, laughing and pretending. Oh, such fun. We never thought someday how it would be real. We never thought then of how it might feel. To truly be hunted or to truly kill. To stay alive by being quiet and very still. To be homesick, lonely, anxious, and distant. To realize you could be history in just an instant. Yes, we used to play soldiers as a game when we were young. Running around, laughing, and pretending was such fun. When we were young, we learned at school that freedom wasn't free and about the golden rule. Learned them both, but one came hard. To learn it, we had to leave our own backyard. There's a postscript. It says, good evening, everyone. Stay safe and God bless. That was We Used to Play Soldiers by Steve Junka. That's a really powerful piece that I think connects to so many people, not just in our country, but across the world, who have been involved in armed conflicts as soldiers, mm-hmm. or as first responders dealing with something really horrible as well. We're doing a lot of work with disabled vets with my music school here, and JT, obviously you see a lot of it. You work at the VA, and this resonates very, very deeply with that. Steve, thank you very much. That was a wonderful thing, and we hope you are staying as safe and happy as possible. All right, so going from that, we are now going to travel back over the Atlantic. We're going to go more into, we're going to go actually to the continent of Europe. We're going to head to Germany and speak with Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. I know it's kind of early morning, late night over there for you.
Yeah, it's 5 a.m.
Five in the morning. How's everything over there? How are you?
Oh, everything's fine. I'm doing very well.
Wonderful. Are you able to get really out and about doing much where you are?
And yeah, well, I work. So I work at the hospital. It's cleaner. So I'm out every day.
Of course you are. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, you know, thanks for doing all. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are very thankful of you doing your job out there. So we appreciate it. But happy to hear your voice. Thank you for either staying up or getting up early. I'm not sure which one you did to join us.
Getting up.
Okay. All right. It's poets. You can never tell. If it was all musicians, we'd know the answer. But poets, it's hard to tell. So
yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to give you the stage. Let you read. We'll talk after. Okay.
Okay. This poem I wrote pretty much because, like you said, poets, you never know. It often irks me that I can't get to find the right words when I'm trying to speak, or, you know, as a poet, you write a lot, but just when you need the right word, nothing comes out. So this poem's title is just plain My thoughts are a light through a prism, synapses split into a spectrum, racing to reach my tongue, reflected before they reach their goal, rejected before they are born. All I sputter out is I had to say so much in a multiple of ways, all lost into eternity. What is eternity if I can't speak? An eternity of silence without you, because those words I want to need so desperately to say disappear before they can breathe. They are replaced by a simple I want to tell you that I love you. I need to let you know that I need you. My thoughts stutter on their way to trip over my tongue, only to vanish into the ether. All that I can release is a hollow It drives me mad, but I'm so mad about you. My madness swallows my sadness. My thoughts force me into a dream where I still can't speak. I have to watch you disappear. The ether knows what I fear. My thoughts spark racing to my tongue, flowing out between my teeth in a scream. All that comes out is a whispered End of poem.
I really enjoyed, like, there was so much to that that I really liked. That was a performance piece, not just a poem, I thought, done really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's see. JT, what do you think about it?
I enjoyed it very much. I've been there myself many a time.
Yeah. I live pretty much in that world most of the time as well, Jerry.
Yeah, it's like a paradox. You've got things on your mind, you want to say it, and you don't.
Well, you know, it's so funny to me, because the thing that I eventually realized, at least works for me, is that I have to kind of grind it out for a while. This only happens sometimes, but I have to grind it out. And then at some point, I just abandon it and walk away. And then the next time I sit down to write it, it just comes out. It's just no big deal. But it wouldn't have happened unless I put that work in and then let it go. And then suddenly it all kind of comes together and seems easy. And you got to wonder, well, why was this so hard? But it's just funny how the brain works.
Yep. Definitely strange how it works.
Yes. See, I'm over here yawning. It's 5 a.m. where you are. I don't know what my problem is. I got up at 4:30 our time. I've been pulling a long day recording music, so maybe that's.
Oh, maybe you're empathic. You know? Catching my moods,
That's got to be it, right? It's an empathy. It's an empathy yawn.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. You're yawning for me.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, Jerry, we appreciate you, man, and hopefully we'll hear from you in the return engagement.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Jerry calling from Germany. In fact, I didn't ask him what city he's calling from.
Oh, I think he's put it out there before, and I forgot.
Yeah, we'll ask. We'll get if it. He's in the chat room, maybe he can tell us there. All right. So now we're going to go from Germany. We're going to travel quite a long ways.
Nuremberg. He's near Nuremberg. Perfect. Sorry.
Nuremberg. Okay. And let's then travel to California to visit with Don Astuano. Good evening, Don.
Hi, hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you great.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Thank you for calling. How are you? How's everything holding up?
Sicker than an itch in midsummer. But that doesn't mean anything. So I'll get better.
All right. All right. So I'm going to let you take the stage, and then we'll talk after, okay?
Thanks much, Michael. This poem is entitled The Acne of Poetry. I have caught the acne of poetry. It breaks out in whiteheads between the itch of my thoughts, but only when I scratch the scribble it writes. Then it erupts on the face of my crops, fields in white ink, pimple pocked on my pink farmed flesh, which bursts when I recite out loud or stand up in the spotlight of righteousness. Ashamed, I hide my poems until they curdle like cheese without the ability to live through and make use of good suffering. Cream cheese oozes from the argument of my salad. Tomatoes, spinach, jicama, cucumber and celery. Scratch the meal to come and goad taste forward to end up in the greatest swallow of a flavor ever had. That's the evil poet in me, in poem.
All right. First of all, JT, I'm going to let you lead that one off. What'd you think?
I really enjoyed that, Don. I really do. I love that humor. It's great.
Very well done, sir. Thank you.
And the medicine that gets rid of the acne? Recognition. Thank you, folks. I'll try to be connected up at the revisitation. I appreciate you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you. And that was Don calling from California, rounding out our second segment of the evening. All right. Now, JT, are you ready? Because it's time for us to announce that we're about to go to
the return engagement.
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 That's right. I think that recording is like 4 years old at this point.
I think
fantastic.
So.
Fantastic. We're still just as ridiculous as ever.
As
all right, so if you want to share a new piece of poetry, you can. If you want to, call in for the first time tonight, you can. If you want to call and share something else, you can do that as well. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here for the return engagement segment. We have four awesome callers lined up here. I will. Do I need five? We have five callers lined up. Oh, look at that. Someone I didn't even see because they were all calling at the last minute, weren't they?
Yes, they did.
No kidding. You got it. Way to go, JT. So we got five callers. That's fantastic. So let's, without waiting on it, should we just get right into it? Are you ready for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's head first of all to the first person here in line, as opposed to going first of all to the second person in line. The first person in line is Dennis from Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Hello. I'm back. Another good Friday.
You never expected it. It's Friday, and we're back again. Yes.
Yeah. Yay.
So it's been a very international show today. It's been great. Just kind of buzzing around to different countries around the world. This is something that the internet and things like this show we're able to kind of bring things together, and I'm really happy to have that. We even have an international caller on this segment as well. So this will be wonderful to have you kick it off. And what do you have for us this time?
All right. Well, for this time, I'm going to read a poem by the unofficial poet of the month, Enid Blyton. And the title of this poem is The Clouds. On the grass I love to lie and watch the clouds go sailing by. Many things they seem to me, foam blown off a fairy sea, downy feathers from a goose, fleecy lambs wandering loose, scatterings of thistle down, snippings from a pixie's gown. Softly, silently they pass, trailing shadows on the grass. But when the clouds I watch are low, dark and darker still they grow, thistle down no longer they, but cloaks for witches wild and gray. Purple tower, vast and grand, clouds like hills from giant land, in whose inky depths there lie glints of lightning's wicked eye. Torn and ragged, wild and fast, the thunder clouds go racing past. End of poem. A poem by Eden Blyton.
What a solid, well-written piece from our unofficial poet of the month, and a great read from you as always, Dennis. You have a really awesome way of doing that.
Well, thank you. It was good material to read from, and it's easy to throw yourself into a poem like that.
that is true. I found that myself also. That when the work is good, it kind of speaks itself, doesn't it?
Yes. It just kind of pulls you in, and you just go with it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, all right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here tonight and every Friday night that you're on the air. You are so appreciated, and it's just, you need to know that. And we will support this show. We will call others and get them involved. I see the one poet, Nelson, in the chat room.
That's right.
He's living in Nicaragua now, yeah. I believe.
Right.
And it's good to see him. He's having telephone issues where he can't call in, I don't believe. But he wants to let us know that he's doing well. He hasn't forgotten us. And once he gets lined up with his telephone service that he can use, he will be joining us again. So it's always good to have friends from around the world come and meet us here at our family reunion. And WPOM.
Yes. That's right. I feel the exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Thanks for everything you do for us.
Yes. We have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. They come and go, but they're always welcome when they return.
That's right. That's
yes, right. Indeed. All right, I'm going to step aside. Let the next poet step up to the mic. And I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan leading us off here. He was in the number one spot in our return engagement segment. All right, now we're going to head to Connecticut to speak with Barbara.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So.
All right. I'm going to step aside. Let's go forward. Step up.
Okay.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Very interesting show tonight. Really nice. I am going to read a poem from this book, Delightful Duets, and this is kind of what happens in my life. I wrote this duet poem with Manthina Dromedary Cherry. Do you remember this guy from Facebook, Michael?
I think so.
Okay. He's a poet. He wrote a lot of these duet poems after me. But I think we were like, I don't know. So I thought maybe he'd only write one, but he wrote like with 20 other poets, all women. And he put it into a book called Delightful Duets. And he contacted me and he said, I want you to do the foreword for this book. And I said, well, all of these other people have more than one poem. A lot of them have more than one poem in there. I said, I'll leave one poem in there. And he said, don't worry. He said, I want you to do the foreword for this book. So I did the foreword for the book. And I'll just say he's Indian. I love Indians very much. But just dealing with Indians has got to be, you know, you have to have fortitude. So he calls me again. He says, you didn't do the foreword yet. I said, I have a lot to work. A lot of work. So finally, after like 2 weeks, I got the foreword done. And then he said to me, you're going to read it, right? You're going to read it on the air. And of course, he got the name of this show wrong in his book. So I had to correct
you
that.
You shouldn't have told me that. So now.
I changed it. Don't worry, Michael. It's all like good. It's not published yet. It's unpublished yet. So,
okay.
You know.
I was going to say, how hard is it? This name's pretty straightforward, I think. Yeah.
I know. And he had me as the CEO, too. And I said, no, I'm not. So I had to change that. It's all changed. It's all good. So anyway, I'm going to read, because Manthina asked me to read it so that he could hear it, I'm going to read this, and then I'll send him the link to listen to it. So my poem is called True Love. It's a duet poem. And so one stanza was done by me, one stanza was done by him, and so on it goes through. And I'll tell you who did which stanza, and you probably don't even need the, you know, introduction of who did what, because you'll see they're so different. But somehow in all of these poems, well, anyway, we'll talk about it afterward. Mine is called True Love, or ours is called True Love. And this is a poem by me and Manthina Dromedary Cherry. Barbara, true love comes from the crowd and taps you on the shoulder. Then suddenly your world is filled with your lover's eyes, colored in the nuances of his glances, and all you see is bathed in the golden light of his caresses as they open up vistas you have yet to explore, and your whole being is riveted on him. Manthina, true love springs from sensations strong, enlivening all your genuine glee for long. You watch in your beloved the full moon. You choose to realize your dream soon. Barbara, Familiar scenes become rainbows of delight when you stroll with your lover through your world and you smile as these sensations bathe your brain in the joy you have found in your fingers enfolded in his hand. Manthina, all shimmering stars sparkling in gloom, broadening your buoyant bliss in bloom, resplendent in flowers, smiling in splendor, awaken imagination to immense wonder. Barbara, his touch creates reverberations. He is the stone skipped into the water of your body. Ever-widening rings extend within. They encompass every part of you as the body welcomes this new visit. Manthina, your love captures your mind with rapture. The exquisite emotions lovers do nurture flow felicitously in all scintillating streams. You yearn to freshen all delightful dreams. Barbara, and each day you find new delights as this wonder brightens your vision and you enjoy the newfound beauty of the flecks of color in these pools as you gaze mesmerized into those eyes that have stealthily encompassed your entire world until there is only him and you are lost in the splendor of this magic. Manthina, love is as charming as a newly born leaf. It is a marvelous story in human life brief. Grasping with grandeur, intrinsic essence, lovers set an example by their existence. Soulful sustenance is meant for all lovers. Deities sprinkle on them fragrant flowers. Lofty love survives all onslaughts of time. Eternity endears its lively chime of rhyme. And that was a poem by me and Manthina Dromedary Cherry called True Love. And it is found in Delightful Duets, which will be coming out as soon as anyone can get anything published.
Well, well done, well written, well read. It seems to me that the title Delightful Duets is setting a really high bar for everybody. It's kind of like putting out your first album. It's like when Garth Brooks did that whole Chris Gaines thing, and the first album he put out was the Greatest Hits.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, having done the foreword, that each one is a gem in itself. Each
that's
poem
awesome. Yeah, that's
is
great.
Really a wonderful experience to read. I mean, they're just so beautiful. The poets have put so much of themselves into this, and Manthina has tailored, as you could see he did, his verses with my verses. I mean, that's how it was. I sent him my verses. He sent me his verses. And then I saw his verses. And then I did my verses. And it was very, copacetic,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was, that was what I did. And so I read it for him. And that's it.
Great.
Have a great week, and thank you, everybody. This is so wonderful to be here. My daughters always ask, why do you come here? Do you have to come here? And I said, yes, I have to come here.
Have your daughters listened to the show? Are they aware of the
I don't think they've ever listened. No.
They're
missing out.
Ask you again. Just be like, well, you obviously don't know what you're missing. If you were
they don't
to the radio.
They don't, and they don't get into like live radio. They don't. They're not into live unless it's Broadway or it's music or we listen to a lot of live music and we listen to a lot of the stuff, but they don't. Poetry is not their thing, they've come to my poetry readings and they've been there for me, so I can't say that they don't, come, but sometimes it's just not their thing. So anyway, I'm going to get off the phone and let other people get on. And thank you, Michael. Thank you for having this. It's just great. And
Gina,
really wonderful.
Well,
no, it's wonderful. It's a great platform for everybody, and wonderful to hear everyone. So I'm going to get off the phone. Good night, and have a great week. Bye.
Good night, Barbara. You as well. Thank you. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut in the second spot in our return engagement. All right. Now, we're going to a beautiful place where beautiful women flock like the salmon of Capistrano. Let's go to California to speak with Don. Hello, Don. Welcome back.
Hi. I'm back.
You are. Wonderful. We're happy to have you.
This is reassuring, considering my demonstrable laundriness, viciousness, and ability to eat raw flowers with a single... Okay. We're through with that. This poem I'm going to do is called Height. And I've done it before, but I've made two corrections. And I think now it is in a way good enough to send out for consideration in the Lit family. So this is Height. It's dedicated to Mikis Theodorakis, and that's Michael Theodorakis, and he is an acquaintance, not a friend. And here it goes. I stand on the beigest of plastic stools of metaphor and am able to see from that unfamiliar height a new way to survey the scene below, and I am enlightened until I see the ladder with its verticals connected periodically by metaphorical rungs. Who will hold this ladder upright so that I might climb tip-top to watch my breath escape like a cloud into the higher insight? Abruptly, I can no longer see clear and straight. My knees shake and I fall back to ground. End poem. I hope that I was able to make a connection with you guys. I cannot trust this machine that I have, so if I didn't, I apologize ahead of time.
No, and
thank you for existing.
And thank you. We're happy to be here, and we're here for to be able to share work like yours, and we really appreciate it. And thank you.
Kalinista. Good night.
Good night. Thank you. And that was Don calling from California, a wonderful poet, and we're always so happy when we can hear him.
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to add to the international flavor of the show, and we're going to travel to Nicaragua to speak with Nelson. Hello, Nelson. Nelson, are you there? Let's give him a moment. Maybe it's a... Was it a phone call or was it a Skype call?
It was a Skype call.
Okay, hey, so maybe
Nelson,
it's just on mute. Let's give him a moment.
We cannot hear you. So if you could, just go ahead and give us a call back and we'll take you live.
There you go. Okay. So we're going to see if we can get that sorted out here, because we definitely want to hear from Nelson. I always love Nelson's work, and it's cool to get his calls as well. I've never been in Nicaragua. Have you? Are you, JT?
No. No. I really haven't been south of...
You've been closer, though, right? Closer than I have, probably.
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I've been in the Bahamas. Or, well, I mean, not the Bahamas, really the Caribbean. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. But where are the Bahamas?
The Bahamas are further north
than the Caribbean?
Of the Caribbean, yes.
Okay. Let's see. What do you think? Should we go to our next caller?
In the chat room real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. So once again, just to remind the people who are listening that maybe were not listening earlier when I mentioned it, we're doing a special anthology. All the proceeds, all the money that is made from this is going to be going to support those in need from the COVID-19 crisis, whether it means job loss, whatever. We're looking into the best charities to do it with. We're looking at the American Red Cross, first of all. However, we want to make sure that we're working with charities that really are effective and get the money to where they need to go. That's why we were talking about the American Red Cross first. So if you want to submit poetry and help us kind of create this this revenue stream that we can then donate, then send us some poetry. There's no cap on how much you can send at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and just indicate that it is for the COVID-19 anthology. So we still have some room in that anthology. All right, JT, what do you think, my friend?
We'll go on to the next.
Okay, so we're going to head to our next caller. However, we will come back. Hopefully, we can grab Nelson here shortly. All right, let's go to Arizona and talk with our great friend Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's great to hear your voice. How are you?
Oh, should I put my Arizona accent on?
Yes, please do.
Hello. It's too hot out. It's 90 already.
My eggs on the sidewalk.
Well, we just had a little taste of it.
Well, fair enough. So how's everything where you are?
Well, I don't see any dead people on the street. It is quite quiet. It's kind of morgue-like. And for Phoenix, it's odd. But that means there's on the highways where there's six lanes, instead of 200 cars in front of you, you've got 10.
Well, that's nice. Yeah,
that's what it's like. Yeah. So nice, yeah. I'll kind of miss it when it's back. Mm-hmm. That part of it.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's getting through and everyone's staying alive. I have this little thing that I'm going to share that I wrote about my father, who I credit with a lot of the happiness that I get out of my life because he taught me how to be happy no matter what. I'm going to read this little thing. It was the autumn of 1925, the year of his birth. My father was born into poverty, the third of 11 children, born to Nana and grandfather on the farm. They lived on it until the barn burnt down in 1929. Even harder times followed. See, Grandpa had cut the hay too green, Dad told me. He remembered standing in the kitchen door, hanging onto Nana's skirt dress, watching as the barn burnt with almost all the animals in it. It was early in the morning and Grandpa had gone to a different pasture and the hay combusted and the fire began. The barn was locked shut and there was little to do except afterwards make sure all the embers were out, put a few animals down. Grandpa never was the same again, they say. He couldn't get over it, and he'd sit and pace and talk to himself and was inconsolable. They had to send him away to some institution. Back and forth he went for the remainder of his life. Back then they didn't know much about the science of the mind and depression, things like that. Dad was lucky he got fortunate enough to stay with Nana when the family got split up and some children had to go with kin or neighbors. There wasn't any money at all. He remembered the rare occasion he got a present, a ball, a bat, a glove. He also remembered and shared with me how it got burnt up in the wood stove because he kept it there for safekeeping. Someone started a fire. He laughed about it with a shrug. He laughed a lot. In fact, I seldom remember my father getting upset about anything. Sometime, something about him had healed over and kept calm all through he had lived. And he came out the other side being a sage to me. I realize now I'm grown in 58 myself. What a gift I had in my father. I don't remember the harsh word he spoke to me. And even when I made mistakes in my life, which I did, he didn't admonish me or chastise me or reduce my worth. He treated me in a way that acknowledged my beauty and acknowledged my fragility, nurtured my strengths and passions in this world. That's what I decided I wanted to do for the world. I wanted to extend that beautiful spirit that he showed me, let the world see the beauty of undivided love for one another, because that's what it makes it all worthwhile to be here. That's all. That's the end of it. That's really all.
We love hearing your voice. It's always just a treat to hear from you. But I think knowing that you're enjoying yourself and that you're happy is one of the best parts of it. So we're happy when you can join us, but we understand that you...
Isn't that so sweet of you to tell me that? It's nice to be happy, even in hard times. I'm not in hard times now. I feel pretty good these days.
Good.
Physically, so that makes a big difference, yeah.
That's great. That's really... That makes.
Thank
that
you
makes
for letting me join you guys.
Of course, thank you. We'll talk to you again sometime soon, okay?
You bet. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona. Wonderful. Now, JT, what do you think? Should we try to prompt Nelson to call us back?
Yeah, I've got it ready in the chat room. So
okay, because
there.
Sure, the way it worked was he didn't call until Mary was getting into the poem. It's just kind of how it worked out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does with delays and things. Now, here's something, boys and girls, we have to bring up that I forgot to bring up earlier, in between the calls here.
But
that never mind. He's on. I'll do it after.
Here okay.
All right, we're going to Nelson in Nicaragua.
Read
Hello,
me good.
Nelson, are you there?
Yeah, I sure am.
All right, fantastic. You're live on the air. Thanks so much for calling back.
Well, I appreciate being around all my friends and new friends tonight. Golly, in the last 10 months, for me, we have our little, our own little pandemics throughout our experience. And so we get through them, and I've just had a, other than that, I've had a wonderful, wonderful life.
That's fantastic. I love that. Now, where in Nicaragua are you?
I'm about 30 kilometers from Managua. I live 10 kilometers from Masaya. And I live in a cultivated jungle.
That's and wonderful.
I have many new friends here and old friends here from former times. And it's just been a joy. I've got a couple dogs to keep me company. And, I really think, I don't want to come off crass in any way. But I think this moment of history, when we disregard the sick, the dead, and the lack of freedoms that many have experienced, and for some reason, it seems to me this situation is good medicine for us all. When I think back to Rod McEwen, his poetry, well, love poetry took off. I always say people need love poetry when they need it the most. And I believe this is one of those times.
Yes. I have to agree. I think I was telling someone the other day that a lot of times people might not be into poetry, but then once they've gone out into life and gotten beaten around a little bit, or experience the wide range of emotions that you can have as a person, poetry suddenly makes sense. And it's a really powerful thing.
Well, I think each one of us need to do our jobs to get out there and allow people to experience poetry, because people forget why they love poetry in the first place. And we have to remind them.
True. Very true. Great point. Great point. So I'm imagining you sitting in this cultivated jungle area right now, which is fantastic in the first place. But I'm wondering what piece of work you're going to be sharing with us.
Well, tonight I'm going to put out to you a poem I wrote 2 days ago. It's still got some work to do with it, but let's put it this way. This is a poem that kind of talks about ants. It talks about it in some ways refers to COVID without saying it. And in other ways, I remember a infomercial man, Billy Mays, from late night television. And why this stuff came together this way, I don't have the first clue. But when I arrive, I just let it go. Let it go.
Absolutely. All right. Perfect.
Well, if you're ready, here we go.
Oh, it's called... we're ready. It's yours.
All right. I am too. I'm fired up. This is called the Black Ant Anthem. Living in Mr. Ant's neighborhood is the life for me. He didn't relocate to the city. When I moved into his jungle with two suitcases and a backpack, Mr. Ant was amicable, not charging me rent for 2 bedrooms, 3 baths, and all the grub he and I could eat. What more could you expect? Why not send the ants student athletes to the digitally virtual Tokyo Olympics, where they could run the walls of worry and the straightaways in prime time, just not my walls. Usain Bolt can outrun a squirrel, an elephant, a pearly pig, Jack Russell Terriers, rascalous roadrunners, a car in a school zone. He can outdash his mates to the chow line, but never an ant. Fact check me. A little ant's legs move faster than angry Gene Krupa's hands during a drum set. I may be fudging there, but there's more. A streaking Saharan silver ant bolts 100 times its body length per sec. My ants preamble with preambles to test my patience, persistence, existence, resistance, and relevance in squashing the little bastards with Krupa's finger roll. Flip them, flop them, prepare them with ease. Great ant sliders are sure to please. Legend has it, with all eyes glazed by Billy May's saga of an escort's collision was a head-on crash with a pitchman's precision. Poor Billy. He died on the button of 50, leaving Ronco's pupil setting a rotisserie. Had Billy borrowed info for one last commercial, schmoozing his pitchman with a sold-out gig, gasping. Now it's the time to just set it and forget it. End of this poem. I'm glad to take you out of your misery.
Very enjoyable. Very
yes,
enjoyable.
Yes.
I love that.
Well, at least we got one. You know, where there's one, there might be one more. I really appreciate that. And listen, this has been so much fun tonight. And, you know, I have, you know, during the times I was going through my stuff, I listen in the archives to past performances and that. And I really appreciate that being there. And, but most of all, appreciate you all in the here and now. And, you know, I came close to buying the farm a couple years ago. So, you know, I guess I'm weathered up for COVID, you know.
Sure.
And I want you all keep the faith, keep the strength. We don't let anything, we poets, we don't let anything take us down until we say so.
There you go. I love it. I love that. Thanks. That's, yes, keep the faith. Perfect.
Bye, Mike.
Goodbye, Nelson. Thanks so much. And that was Nelson calling from Nicaragua to end our return engagement segment. Now, tonight's been a pretty cool night, actually. We had callers from Vancouver, British Columbia. We had callers from Connecticut, from Michigan, from California, from Nuremberg, from a jungle in Nicaragua, from Arizona, where you can fry eggs on the street. We've had callers from a lot of places tonight, and it's been a really varied show. Now, there are some people who are usually here with us that are not here, Mama, Zach, and, you know, I don't want to get into any personal details that maybe I've been had shared, but, you know, we just, even for the people we're not aware of why they're not here, just let's keep them in your, if you're the type of person to pray, keep them in your prayers. We hope they're okay. And we look forward to getting together again soon. Now, one thing that I need to say that I had forgotten to mention earlier is this is something that JT and I really have discussed and figured out we need to do. We need to be, because we haven't for a while, quite a while, we need to be taking a week off, mostly for our own health, our own mental health, for JT's marriage, for all kinds of reasons, for a Friday night. So this next Friday night, we will not be doing a show. And so you heard it here, and I will communicate it on our platform and everything. And the calendar you'll see reflects that. So we will not be doing a show for this next Friday. However, we will be back within 2 weeks' time from today. So nothing to worry about there. Yeah, we need to kind of take that time and just kind of keep ourselves recharged as well. So, everybody, thank you so much for being a part of this show this evening. We love you. It's a really important thing for us, and I think all of us can kind of agree it helps us, at least in some small way. I hope you're watching great movies, you're reading great books, you're with people that you love, or you're finding ways to love the company that you're with yourself, which is a good practice for us all to get into. From Hemingway the studio dog, from Ursa the studio dog, from Novia the studio cat, from JT and myself, we love you, thank you, and until 2 weeks from now, next time, keep on writing. Good night.